Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The following is a message from Heritage Foods USA. Thanksgiving turkeys in America used to be different. They came from a wide variety of breeds, they were healthy and raised outdoors on small family farms, their flavor? Exquisite. Continue this tradition with the same Heritage turkeys. Order yours now on www.heritagefoodsusa.com or call 718-389-0985. That's 718-389-0985.
Hey, and welcome to The Food Scene. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel, here on HeritageRadio.com. Excited to have brother and sister illustration dynamo duo behind TheyDrawAndCook.com. They draw and cook the book, now out by Weldon Owen, Sally Swindell, and Nate Padovic. Thank you for being here.
Wow, thanks for having us.
Yeah, all the way from what, North Adams, Mass?
Yeah, up in the Berkshires.
And then
Hudson, Ohio.
Hudson, and that's near where in Ohio?
30 minutes south of Cleveland.
Excellent.
Sort of.
For years, though, obviously, being brother and sister, I'm assuming you grew up together.
Kind of.
You know, I was 12 when Nate was born.
Yeah.
And our mom did a great job of not making me have to do anything. You know, I didn't have to babysit. I didn't have to change diapers. So I sort of didn't know Nate existed until I was like in my late 20s.
That's how a lot of siblings work anyway, even if they're like twins.
Yeah, it wasn't until I graduated college that I didn't really talk that much to you, right? Or
right.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I had things going on. And a baby brother wasn't one of them.
He's a busy 12-year-old.
Where did you grow up?
Cleveland.
In Cleveland?
Yeah.
And what is Cleveland known for food-wise?
Ooh, pierogies. The West Side Market.
Yeah. There's a section in Cleveland, Tremont, that just seems to always have a good cluster of really good restaurants going on. And as everyone knows, that's where Michael Simon has his...
The Lola Bistro.
And Lolita's, yeah. But yeah, there's some good ethnic cabbage and good Polish restaurants and but you know, I don't eat meat.
Yeah,
so
it has a pretty good food scene, but you know, growing up you wouldn't know it by looking at our dinner table.
what was on your dinner table? Was it pierogies? Was it
I am not gonna start slamming our moms.
No, she was a very consistent cook, and I wouldn't say it was always adorned with spices and different flavors, but I was also the pickiest child eater ever.
Well, Sally's a vegetarian.
Yeah.
And I was vegetarian from the time I was born.
And my mom was a very... Our mom.
Yes, my mom, too.
But she was very meat and potatoes. And you didn't like meat, and I don't think you ate potatoes.
Well, no, I'm a starch hound. Okay. But, I needed it to be burnt so that I couldn't recognize it. And they tried to make me eat it. And I always went out and got cereal later. And
yeah.
I always clean my plate.
Oh, jeez.
Unless it was Spanish rice. I didn't like her Spanish rice.
So, I mean, there was ethnicity on the table, too. It wasn't just...
No. I wouldn't say that.
No, it was just deep. Spanish rice is just that boxy yellow rice.
Oh, yeah, that was just... You know, that was, when you think of it, that was a time when all those... I remember the three-layer Jell-O molds.
Oh, yeah.
Where you... The way you put things in, it made that shiny red at the bottom, and then a medium fluff, and then super fluffy Jello on top, that 1-2-3 Jello. You know, she was good for always having desserts, and and things like that. But I also would eat 10 Oreos and milk for breakfast. So,
and this book here, They Draw and Cook, is so healthy. It doesn't really have a ton of Oreos in it.
Well, I am healthy now.
Yeah. So how did you break away from that type of eating, that type of, you know, cuisine, if you can call it that, into exploring these worldly tastes that you have in this book?
Well, wow, that's more a product of just the global influence of They Draw and Cook. I mean, the website has about 1,600 recipes submitted by over 800 artists from around the world. So it's automatically super, you know, the cuisines just come from all over the place. And we try a lot. We've learned a lot of new recipes just by being introduced to them through the artwork.
So They Draw and Cook, how was this concepted? Because you two have been working together in illustration for just as long as, you know, your separation, your 12 years. Was there always this fascination with food instantly between you two?
I think it really did have a specific point where it sprung, and then it was, you know, time before one or the other of us kind of grabbed onto the idea.
But we'd been working together for 10 years, mostly doing greeting card design, actually.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. And this is through SSS Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a studio that we work under.
Yeah.
And we, Sally worked at American Greetings for 12 years, and they're headquartered in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Right. And that was the best place to meet people and really kind of develop your creative spirit.
Cool. Designing them.
Yes.
So you weren't the one that wrote that little thing.
No.
No.
No, that's a whole other department. But when I worked there, they were part of our team.
Yeah.
We worked together. But
since then, we moved into, we became freelancers.
Yeah.
So the greeting cards that we now design, we often write the verse as well as hand letter it, as well as illustrate it and design it. So I think that helped us sort of build kind of a vocabulary for what it takes to create a good illustrated recipe. Because it's a really cool problem to solve.
How
to visually communicate a recipe with as little words as possible, and using visuals to sort of pull the reader in or the viewer in and create a little story.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, inspire someone and make it fun at the same time.
Well, I mean, like greeting cards, they're compact, they're concise.
Yeah, you got to get a lot.
Yeah.
In a 5x7 piece of paper, you got to convey a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
Well, and the similarity is there are recipes in the book and on the site that their main hook is they are just so beautifully illustrated.
Yeah.
So the person's drawn to it because it's just such a luscious rendering. But then there's greeting cards that are so funny, you're buying them because they're funny. And there's recipes like that.
Oh, yeah.
So for every style of how people communicate, there's almost a recipe that matches your style of communication.
I mean, visually, stylistically, too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you go from seeing things that are pop art, which I believe is that pesto recipe.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah, it's super graphic.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's so abstract to the point that there are no real representations of the ingredients on there. Whereas others, there aren't any words. I mean, I think there was an authentic guacamole.
Yeah.
I love that recipe. Yeah. It's just a beautiful rendering of the five ingredients in guacamole. The garlic, avocado, cumin, onion, red onion, cilantro, and one other that I'm...
Yeah.
But the best part is, you know, the girl that's just all sassy laying there with the guacamole.
And the mortar and pestle on her lap.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it looks like a facade of a building in a mission in San Francisco. I mean, it doesn't, you know, have anything other than this emblematic sense of what the recipe is.
Yeah, it would be a great billboard.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it and you don't think, oh, that's a recipe. You're like, it's...
You just want to go have some guacamole.
Totally.
Yeah.
Which is sort of the whole point. You know, when these recipes come in, there's mornings where we open, you know, the email and you see it. And, you know, it's like immediately, Nate, go Google video. I'm so excited. We got to talk about this one. And it's like, oh, my gosh, did you see how they did that? And who would have thought? Or, you know, the more they start to personalize these and put in the words, you know, they've come up with a whole new vocabulary, yumptious.
Yumptious.
And this, you know, num-num-num.
Yeah.
That's how they say it in French, I think.
Yeah.
So it's just so funny. Different cultures have different yummy words.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the site itself, because that was the precursor to the book. They drawandcook.com. When did it actually start, and what was the concept? Was it literally a restaurant, a recipe trade?
Oh, God. I mean, there was no plan.
Yeah.
No.
As illustrators, every year we try to send something out to our clients just to remind them that we exist and to show them like what we're working on, or if we developed a new illustration style, what that is. And one year, Sally and I, we always take family vacations together. And one year we were in Asheville, and I was making
fig fettuccine in a butter balsamic sauce. You can't even like say it without drooling.
Yeah, it's good.
With poppy seeds.
Yeah, it was the middle of summer, and the figs were super fresh. Yeah. You know when you get a crate of figs, how beautiful they are.
Oh.
So I'm like slaving away making this dish. It's not an easy thing to make. You got to reduce the vinegar and bake the figs. And Sally's sitting at the table doodling.
Yeah.
Sipping wine, drawing the figs, yakety, chammering on. And all of a sudden I thought, I love drawing figs. They're so lyrical and they're so sexy and they're...
You had your watercolors out, right?
Yeah. And I thought, wow, why don't I illustrate more food? I need some more assignments that get me food clients. So, you know, that goes on too. I finally just start to... I have a blog of my own, and I thought I'm just going to post, my blog is all about visual chatter, so I'm just going to post some recipes, and I'm going to adorn them with some, you know, images, patterns, and, you know, start posting then, and then finally, we're brainstorming, you know, the Christmas client gift, and I said, Nate, we should illustrate recipes, because we were addicted to making books on our Mac, if you've ever done those.
You know, through iPhoto, you can make those teeny little books. Yeah.
Totally addicted to it, and...
So we're like, this is cool. Well, for this year, for our client gift, we'll like pick a couple of our favorite recipes. It'll give us a reason to draw food, and maybe we'll get a client who will commission some sort of food illustration from us.
Yeah, but the more we thought about it, we're like, well, that doesn't really show. Let's do different illustrators. Let's call all our illustrator friends, and then we can give it to family and friends, and it's not just our work, and it'll show that. You know, we like working with other people, and your work always looks better if you pick the other really good artist to sit amongst.
Plus, we could also we were also able to share our client list. Like, if we sent the book to all of our clients, and we picked 9 of our illustrator friends would also send it to their clients, we'd all, you know, share a common client base.
So, like CSA, a community. What is it called? Community supported art instead of agriculture.
Yes, exactly.
Illustration. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, we get the group together and we're brainstorming, and one particular guy is so on board, and okay, here's our due date. Okay, the due date comes and goes, his illustration's not done.
Because you needed 10 or 11 pages.
No, you need 9. 9, yeah. 9 recipes.
In order to justify printing a book.
Yeah, that's you have to fill amount. 9. And so we missed the Christmas deadline. So we're like, well, okay, how about Valentine's Day? So Nate was in town, and we're still waiting for this one particular person to get their recipe in.
And we're so impatient because we have these 8 recipes, which are great.
Yeah. And I'm not good about keeping secrets, and I'm not good about if I've done something I like, I just like need the whole world to see it and give me a big pat on the back. Move on.
Look at me.
Exactly. So Nate's in town, and I happen to have an appointment with a psychic.
Who's also our business manager.
Yes, we call Ernesto our business manager now.
Did she see this book coming?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Ernesto is good.
Yeah. No, this is the psychic that the psychics go to.
Yeah, he is the psychic the psychics go to. So I sit down, and he just looks at me, and he says, whoa. He says, your brother has an idea, and you need to listen to it because it's going to be big.
Oh, and that is all I needed to hear. So every idea I have is like, this Ernesto said, you have to listen to me.
I know, I'm like, and didn't I say he was bossier? So anyway, so the next day I leave the room. Nate's like, I'm sick of waiting for this last recipe. I'm going to make it a blog. And I'm like, whatever.
What's a blog?
No, I knew what a blog was. I come back in. He's hand lettered it. It's up and running. And the next day we started getting recipes.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And what year was this?
2010. February.
Yeah. February, right. Well, mm-hmm. We posted it with the 8 recipes. And I just thought I was going to be like, okay, let's just let this thing live somewhere and kind of be done with it and move on. But it was literally the next...
Those 8 artists posted it on their blogs.
Yeah.
And those 8 artists had pretty good blogs. And then it just kept
crazy,
you know, the tentacles.
Yeah.
Eventually.
And then it was 2 days later that just out of the blue, because on the blog I said, if you want to illustrate a recipe, send it to this email. Thinking, you know, no one's going to do this. And 2 days later, someone sent in a recipe for an M&M casserole.
Yeah.
Which is a bowl of M&M's.
Yeah.
My kind of casserole. It was just after that. And at that point then, and it still is kind of the problem, this is all I talk about. So I'm in the grocery store line and I'm telling people about it. I'm in American Greetings. I'm at the post office. I'm getting my hair cut. Your niece is an illustrator? Okay, she has to go to the site and submit a recipe. And then the recipes start coming in, and we were so excited. So Nate started this dialogue with every single artist, which was brilliant.
But it was totally sincere. Like, someone
would
send a recipe.
Yeah, we were super excited.
And we'd fall off our chairs because it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And, like, these people are so generous. And you could tell they had a fun time with it. But they also send, you know, a link to their blog or their website. And then you go there and you learn more about them. You're like, oh, my God, these people. I mean, they're not all professional illustrators. I'd say most of them are professional doodlers. They're aspiring illustrators. They just do it for fun. Some of them are artists. But then you go to their blog and you're like, look at all of this talent that people are just putting out in the world for fun. And so then you send them an email like, oh, thank you so much. I love what you're doing on your blog. Then I follow their blog. And then, you know, Sally follows their blog too. I think I follow like 300 blogs now.
Well, yeah. And then we sit back and we're like, how are we still getting any jobs when all these great illustrators are out there?
I know.
But then it was the other thing of, they're so excited to be on our site. And I'm like that with other sites. Like, I participate in Illustration Friday. I'm always dumping my art in all these little contests and things. And it's really just fun to see your stuff somewhere else. And these people were so sincere. And then, you know, the sincerity became contagious. And then we're grateful. And then they're more grateful. And we're really grateful.
Yeah.
And then the fan base, too, they're super generous with their comments. Because a lot of these folks are, like I said, they're aspiring illustrators. So they don't get a lot of feedback. But they send us a recipe, and then we post it, and then all these people from out of the blue comment on it very generously and wonderfully, and that just encourages them to create more.
Well, I think that's the same way certain recipes are developed. The treasure trove that was the recipe box of all those little index cards, and gets passed around through family, through generation, through friends, and then, oh, cook, you know, aunt somebody's this, or, you know, uncle somebody's that, and that becomes legacy. And I think it's similar to this work itself. I mean,
totally. And, you know, a lot of the recipes on the site actually are mom's brownies, Nana's arugula, grandma's apple pie. So you could tell that, you know, when you're challenged to illustrate a recipe, you're going to pick a recipe you love. And the chances are that's a family recipe that's been passed down.
Yeah.
And this is such, and illustrating is such a great way to sort of commemorate that.
Excellent. We're going to take a quick break and come back and find out a little more about the people behind the food and illustrations and they draw and cook. You've been listening to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. Hey, and welcome back to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Here today with TheyDraw and Cook.com, as well as the people behind the book, They Draw and Cook, Nate and Sally. thank you again for being on. This is, it's amazing because I had this weird flashback when I first saw this book that in college I was making these movie posters about food. I've always been more than just food obsessed. It's always been, you know, this very innate part of me. But I was making these movie posters of like Ants on a Log and other childhood like ethos.
Did you really make an Ants on a Log movie poster?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it wasn't a movie poster. It just was.
But it was.
It was something you could hang up in your kitchen for your kids so they can look at that. And, you know, I think I made that. I don't remember what else I made, but I remember the Ants on the Log one because I spent, you know, weeks upon weeks using the computer and hand drawing and scanning stuff in. And then I'm like, oh, I'm just going to be a photographer. I can't deal with this kind of crap. But then seeing this, not only do I see how talented these people are that submit recipes and illustrations, but, you know, how much work actually goes behind it. It's not like a doodle, as you say. It's not sitting down at the coffee table in the morning and just knocking one out.
It's, oh, no way.
Yeah. These have been inside somebody, have been building.
And, yeah. I asked one of the artists, his name is Jonathan Hawker, and he lives in Leicester, England. His illustrations are super detailed and really well rendered.
Which one is this?
It's for a Chilean lime sea bream.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what's interesting about this, when I first saw that recipe, I thought, okay, if Alton Brown had to illustrate a recipe, that's what this would look like. Because it's super clinical. And everything, like the ingredients, the salt and the pepper are in these sort of petri dishes, and the oil and the vinegar are in these little beaker-ish jars, and everything's clearly labeled, and it's on graph paper. And I asked him, like, how long does it take you to do this? Because he's submitted like 5 recipes since then. And he said each one takes 15 hours.
Oh.
Yeah, but you know what else? And I asked him what he did, because I'm like, are you a professional illustrator? He's like, no, I'm a chemistry teacher.
Well, is it on the graph paper?
It totally comes through. Yeah. I mean, you would never guess that, but it all makes sense now.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's wonderfully systematic, whereas there are whimsy in, you know, other recipes. There are some people that, you know, have a system in place on how to write a recipe and how to lay it out on these pages. But like we said, the guacamole one before kind of just lived in a different way. And
well, some of the recipes aren't so much recipes as they are inspiration.
Yeah.
Like Sally's recipe for arugula salad. It doesn't have measurements or amounts or instructions. It just has the ingredients.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just like things that I don't have to measure.
Yeah.
Because I don't pay attention. I'm not a good baker. And I don't really like to fuss with type. I like to do hand lettering. So
yeah.
I don't want to have to get in there and pick fonts and fuss like that. But there's some in here that are just so funny. They do them in like the cartoon strip of Mariana Olajek. Am I pronouncing it?
Oklajek. Oh, yeah. She's sort of a cartoonist from Poznan, Poland.
Yeah. Which one did she do?
It's the Raisin Bran, where the boyfriend is going to make her the perfect raisin bran, and the end she just totally blows him off and tells him to F off and get rid of that ugly plaid shirt. And oh my God, it's like the best little surprise at the end. And you think, oh, I forgot that I'm making raisin bran.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It tells them a great time.
It's an awesome little story.
Well, I mean, the blueberry bran muffin, too, is, you know, a storyboard of two characters. What is it, a raccoon and a rabbit?
Yeah, that's Kate O'Leary's. Yeah. In fact, the book signing, we had a book signing party in Hudson, Ohio, in my little hometown at the great little bookstore, The Learned Owl. And I had made Kate's muffins.
Yeah.
And they're dense. I mean, they're healthy, they're dense, and I have them all on a platter, and I'd printed out a recipe for kids to color if they came in, and all of a sudden someone comes in, and they're kind of really looking at things, and I'm like, oh, do you know someone in the book? Oh, Kate O'Leary. And I'm like, oh, it's her muffins I made. And they're like, oh. And how did that go?
Yeah.
They're like, that's a lot of muffin to eat.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're really healthy.
Yeah. They're bran. I mean, they sound like they're representative of what bran should be.
But wasn't that Kate's mom?
It was her mom and dad. Yeah, it was her mom and dad and aunt that had come in. They saw
come in to make fun of her muffins.
Yeah.
No, I made those muffins too. I liked them a lot, but you see, I just can't leave a recipe alone. Like, I rarely follow it to the T.
Yeah.
Like, in this blueberry bran muffin recipe, I couldn't resist just putting in way more blueberries.
Yeah.
Blueberries were in season. I had tons of them. So I just threw them all in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what this book allows you for that.
Well, I mean, the raw Brussels sprout and radish salad.
Oh, do you know those guys? They're local.
No, no. Who are they?
Oh, Philip Rosenblum and Christina DeCosta. They have a blog that's called 30 a Week. They live in Brooklyn. And their blog is about eating on $30 a week. And I got turned on to this blog when they sent in this illustration. And these guys are not professional illustrators. So they just sort
That's a damn good Brussels sprout, I must say, though.
It is. It's a great drawing. And you could tell they did it with their colored pencils.
Yeah.
And it's all hand-lettered. And it's just for the ingredients. Raw Brussels sprouts, radish, oil, vinegar, lemon.
But it
salt.
Sounds so good. I never would have put Brussels sprouts and radishes together.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would have never, I've always cooked Brussels sprouts.
I didn't
think you could.
Well, I said to someone, I'm like, I never raw Brussels sprouts. And they're like, it's a mini cabbage, of course. I was like, oh.
Yeah, but see, this is because, you know, our mom would cook Brussels sprouts for like three days before, you know?
Oh, yeah. I learned the term affogato when I was recently in Sicily, which means drowned. And most people know it as, ice cream and they pour espresso shot, but they do it to green vegetables as well, and they cook the shit out of it. They cook it to the point where it's unrecognizable as its original form, and it's mush, it's baby food,
puree,
and affogato.
Well, there's another James Gulliver Hancock. He's Brooklyn.
Yeah, he lives in Williamsburg,
and he's super hip. I mean, you do not meet someone that's more hip than him. Every detail, and his illustration style is for Kim. It's his recipe's kimchi. Is that the one that's in here?
Yeah, it's kimchi.
Oh, yeah.
And you look at it, and okay, not only is his illustration super hip, but kimchi is like the super hip food right now. I'm
he is
the total, everything is perfect, perfect, perfect.
Yeah, I was like an instant fan the very first recipe he sent in. He's got like, I think he has four or five recipes
They
Draw and Cook. But what I love about it is, you know, They Draw and Cook is such a kind of a creative playground for artists. There are no rules. You can just illustrate whatever you want. And he said that he was happy to have submitted this recipe because he works for art directors who tell him what to do. But with this recipe, he ventured into a new illustration style, and he found that he liked it, and now he's been using it ever since.
Yeah.
So it was a good testing ground.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of the biggest thing that's come out of this is it is a creative playground. You don't have an art director's voice coming through your head telling you what to do or how much you're getting paid or when it's due. And I think that's really what brings out the best in people.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for me, when I'm stressed, I'll illustrate a recipe. And it's a soothing thing for me. And I think that's...
You mean, like, instead of eating that pint of ice cream or a bag of potato chips,
no,
you'll
I'll do
draw
that too.
While eating Jenny's salty caramel ice cream.
I know. Try to be vegan. There's three things I can't give up.
No, but I do that too. The more assignments I have, the more I just want to blow them off and illustrate a recipe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then seeing recipes like watermelon soup make me want to
Oh, my God. Is that one great or what?
I was cracking up when I saw it.
Yeah,
the detail.
If Jan Schenkmeyer could illustrate a recipe, that would be it. Look at the beady eyes on that watermelon.
Yeah.
That thing is creepy.
I mean, it's the nicest Edward Gorey-esque thing I've ever seen. But, like, as slightly intimidating and, evil that watermelon seems, I want that soup.
Yeah.
I want to puree that guy, and I want to make it.
You're done. And my other one that I'm always drawn to is the Moroccan orange salad, which is oranges and dates. And it's like, God, again, you know, I don't even really need to do the recipe as it says, but you learn one thing, that those two ingredients play well together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I added chili peppers because someone else red chili flakes had a combination. I was like, okay, my new favorite combination.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, the takeaway is not always follow exactly the recipe, but...
But it's the inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there are over 100 recipes in this book. How many countries are represented? Because I know on your website you have, I don't know...
90 countries.
Wow. Yeah.
Artists from 90
over
countries around the world.
Over 800 artists.
Yeah. Because you see the influence in this book going from, like you said, Moroccan cuisine to bunuelos to, you know,
it's super multicultural. A lot of
Brits, a lot of
And a lot of chai recipes now.
Yeah,
and then you start to get seasonal ones coming in. But the one thing I do find myself doing a lot is Googling. You know, you'll see an ingredient that you've never heard of, or someone just had a recipe for top hat. And I didn't know what a top hat crispy. It's the pan form that you put the dough in, and it forms like a little top hat. So you put it in the oil.
They look like little cones, and they're served in Indonesia and Thailand a lot, like little crunchy cones.
And filled with veggies. You know, for her, this was just, everybody knows what that is. Well, I kind of had to email and say, I had to Google that.
Yeah.
Could you include a little illustration or, anything to kind of help us out here? Or we'll be getting so many comments and I won't be able to answer.
Well, I mean, that's the great thing, too, about these recipes. I mean, we haven't even talked about the difference between written and visual. You know, when I cook and see all those words, sometimes you're like, oh, these exact amounts, these things. But when you see it visualized, drawn out, be it representative or with all the components of things that you have to cook with, equipment, you know it. There's just that correlation. Just it picks up that quicker and it just, burns into your memory.
Well, for sure. Like when you're just like thumbing through the book wondering, what do I feel like cooking? You can just take a quick look at all these recipes, and just by looking at the illustrations, you're like, okay, there's a lot of ingredients in that one. Or, oh, here, this one has like four ingredients. I can do this in a minute. Or, I've got the rest of the afternoon. Sure, I'll make these empanadas.
Yeah.
I'll pick my way through. Well, what was my train of thought?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of different moods in the book, too. I mean, we were talking about that first muffin recipe where, the people break up, the guy cries, makes muffins. I have a question about what exactly is Mormon funeral potatoes?
Somebody died. It's the traditional thing when, someone's died, you take a casserole.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Johanna, although she's living in Barcelona now, she was born in Salt Lake City to in a Mormon family, and this is what you do. You bring a big starchy batch of potato. What kind of soup is it mixed with? Cream of mushroom, maybe?
Cream of mushroom, I was going to say something. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds tastes like sorrow.
That is just, that was definitely one of the funnier ones when that rolled in.
Yeah. So the site turned into a book. Are you hoping to do more books?
Yay!
Yeah.
Yes.
Because how can people submit? They just go directly to the website, upload their recipe, illustrated recipe, and...
Yeah, and that's it. And, it comes in and we look at it to make sure that it makes sense and to make sure that the type is legible. Anyone can submit as long as it's not, poisonous or offensive. Oh, I shouldn't even say that. Someone, like even in the book, there's a recipe for making your own Play-Doh.
Oh, yeah.
it's great Play-Doh.
Yeah.
Someone made it for the book launch party, and it's just the right texture.
And you can eat it. Flour, water, salt, oil, and cream of tartar.
Well, we talked about this last night. Someone submitted a recipe for healthy dog treats, but all the ingredients were fine. I'm like, well, why couldn't I have
it? It sounds delicious.
It was great.
It's because, have you ever tasted dog treats? It's just not right for the human palate. Always. Even though there are a couple. I have a cat. I've tasted his treats. Not for me.
You have tasted your cat's treats?
They're crispy chicken, kale, blueberries, cottage cheese. He's a very healthy, healthy cat. And he actually eats all those ingredients separately of the treat.
No, your cat eats blueberries?
Oh, yeah. Well, he more smushes blueberries.
No.
I'll lick him a little bit. Yeah.
No.
But we're getting a little off topic. I'll do a whole cat food show someday.
Bring me back.
I want to end on what I think is one of the coolest recipes in the book. And thank you because you brought me the shirt of it too, the monkey banana cream. The illustration's hilarious too. I love those Frenchy underpants swimming suit things that monkey
adorable.
Is wearing. Yeah.
Yeah, the little monkey he's our spokesperson.
Yeah.
I mean, look at him. Yeah, of course he is. His banana is just so nicely positioned.
Yeah.
He's proud of it.
I was about to say, before this show turns for the worse, I want to thank you both so much from coming on, putting up theydrawandcook.com, putting out this book, which is just an absolute wonder. And I can't wait for the next edition. Next edition, I will submit a recipe,
be it
ants on the log or something else soon. And everyone else out there should, too. Check out theydrawandcook.com, Nate and Sally. Appreciate you being here.
Yeah, this has been
fun.
Can
we have one final little?
Do it.
Okay. We have also have They Draw and Travel.
Yeah.
And someone submitted a map of...
Oh, it was a cashew chicken map of Springfield, Missouri.
All the places where you can go in Springfield, they're Missouri, to get cashew chicken.
There are like 36 restaurants.
Yeah.
Cashew chicken is the signature dish of Springfield.
So we love that the sites have started to morph into each other.
Yeah, and you'll be back, and you'll be on this show, and we'll talk all about that, because now I kind of have a hankering for cashew chicken.
thank you. This is so fun.
You've been listening to The Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.com. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel. Hoping to have you back here next Tuesday at 3. Ciao.